This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Now, we last month, you may have heard, spoke with my namesake, David Williams from Sony Europe, about some of the accessibility initiatives that Sony has across their range of products. Well, this month we have been invited into Sony's HQ here in Weybridge in Surrey, and around the table we are joined by a bit of a rogues gallery. First of all, Robin Spinks, who is RNIB's inclusive design lead, Raheel Malik, who used to work with us here at RNIB but is now an engineer working on Sony TV accessibility, and Gavin McCarron, who is a technical marketing manager and also is involved in training across the Sony organization as well. So let's just begin, I think, is it with yourself, Gavin?
Yes.
And just provide us, if you would, a little bit of an overview of some of the accessibility features that are now available on some of the most recent TV models from Sony, specifically features that you think will benefit blind and partially sighted customers.
Yeah, of course. So actually, you've chosen a really good time to come and visit us, as we've just launched our 2024 Bravia TV lineup. So we have three new models, Bravia 9, Bravia 8 and Bravia 7. And all of those TVs run on the Google TV platform. So that's based on Android, so Android operating system, which I think a lot of people are obviously familiar with from smartphones, etc. And we introduced that back in 2015, actually. So we've been consistently developing that along with Google to improve things like the accessibility as well. Specific features, I guess, which are very much of use to partially sighted or blind people is the talkback, so the screen reader, super important. We also have text magnification and things like color inversion and grayscale as well. There's a few additional features though, but one of the ones I really want to highlight actually is the Google Assistant is fully integrated. So that's the voice assistant, which is fantastic. We've also got hands-free microphones built into the TV as well. So that means you don't have to pick up a remote control to actually control the TV, turn it on, change the channel, etc. In addition to that, we've got some really nice features around things like the power on volume control. So you always know when you turn the TV on that it's going to be at a particular volume. It's not going to be super loud or super quiet. Also, there's power on behavior about where the TV starts up as well. So you can choose to have either the home screen or the last input that you used as well. So again, it's great for familiarity of knowing that you're always going to be on that home screen, for example. Some additional nice little features as well. We've got the remote finder, so you can actually ask the TV where the remote is, and the remote will then play a little sound out of it as well, so you can help you to locate it a little bit easier. And additional things like dual Bluetooth, so you can connect headphones to the TV and use the headphones and the TV speakers at the same time and adjust the volume independently. We've got voice zoom as well, which will increase the audibility of the voice of the dialogue part, which is really, again, really useful if you want to kind of drown out the surrounding background noise a little bit to hear it clearer. And of course, easy accessibility to the accessibility settings as well. So very simply, just hold the mute button down for 3 seconds and then your screen reader talkback will turn on. And actually also accessibility for the different menus within the accessibility setting as well. So we've got easy setup of making sure you can get into all of those settings quickly and simply. So yeah, I think that's a quick overview.
That's quite a feature list there, Gavin. I'm just going to bring in Robin Spinks from RNIB, our inclusive design lead. Robin, we've come such a long way in terms of TV accessibility. Thinking about some of those features that Gavin's just outlined, what does that mean for blind and low vision customers like you and I?
I mean, it's fantastic to hear. I think it's all about customization and flexibility, and it's all about imagining using the TV in different contexts. So maybe where you've got a shared household, for example, or maybe you've got one member of the family who's got a hearing impairment, or, you know, a large percentage of people who are older who have a visual impairment also have some level of hearing impairment. So the opportunity to customize the TV experience and dial it into your own needs and have it flexible enough to cater for the needs of other people in your household, absolutely fantastic. And I think, you know, combining that with the kind of general ease of use that comes with the Android operating system, it's really exciting to learn of.
Gavin, all of those features sound great, but what happens if I, as a blind person, you know, I order a Sony TV online and, you know, somebody brings it to the house and they put it in my living room and maybe I want to do that setup myself. Can you speak to the accessibility of the out-of-the-box experience for blind and partially sighted customers?
Yeah, for sure. So actually, that's one of the improvements we've made for 2024 as well, is the talkback on the setup. So when you turn on the TV, when you plug it in, it'll automatically turn on anyway. But after a few seconds, it will explain how to turn on the talkback feature. So it will explain that it's going to hold down the mute button for 3 seconds, and then talkback screen reader will be enabled, and then it will talk you through each of the different screens that you run through. So that's a new feature for 2024. In addition, then, with Google TV, you can actually do a lot of the setup using your smartphone as well. So things like passwords and services that you use, so connecting to the Wi-Fi, you can do that through your smartphone as well, which is super, super handy. And actually, another new thing that we've done for 2024 as well is we've added some tactile dots to indicate the correct HDMI to plug in one of our soundbars. So not just TVs that we do, but we do a lot of audio equipment like soundbars. And there's 3 tactile dots on the HDMI output from the soundbar to the HDMI input of the TV. And these days, it's become more and more important to connect the correct HDMI ports together. We've a thing called eARC, which allows audio to go from the TV to the soundbar and back to front again as well. So that's a really nice addition. We also have a feature called Acoustic Center Sync, and that needs to be connected by a wire as well. And we've tactile dots for that output, so you can connect them together. So yeah, I think we've improved that level of accessibility from the out-of-the-box experience as well.
Can you talk a bit more about the screen reader? I know you've tried to make some improvements there. So the screen reader, obviously, this is the voice and the bits of the interface that are spoken that enables somebody who is blind or low vision to independently navigate the interface.
Yeah, so the talkback, you're probably a lot of your listeners will be very familiar with that from their smartphones. So essentially, it works in the same way. It's fully supported throughout. Actually, the Google Home menu, the home screen, has been designed in such a way to put a very kind of content forward manner. So what you're presented with is a lot of options about different TV series or films that you might want to watch. One of the advantages of that is you don't have to go into each application to find content. So it's all presented there on the main screen. And what the talkback will do is it will read all of the same content that I can see myself. It will read that back to you. So you get a good little kind of idea of the synopsis of what might be included in that TV show as well. And it will give a little bit of context about where you are in that home screen menu as well, as in it's row one of 5 columns or 10 columns or whatever it might be. So you know whether you might need to scroll to the right or scroll to the left to find more content or more information. It's fully integrated into the menus as well. So that's great. And also into the applications. So applications like Netflix, for example, or YouTube, because they're designed specifically for Google TV, you get a lot of the information there, and it will read back again things like the title, the synopsis, where you are in the menu system as well. One area of improvement though that I will say we need to kind of look at and work with broadcasters closer is the catch-up TV apps, which they run on HBB TV, so they don't work quite the same as the native Google applications that we have on the TV. So the experience isn't quite as good as the likes of Netflix and YouTube at the moment. But hopefully that's an area we can work with broadcasters and developers in the future to improve that and make it as seamless and as good as the other applications.
If someone listening is an Apple iOS user, you mentioned Android is the platform on which your accessibility features are working. What's that journey going to, is there a conflict there? Is there something that I'm going to have to overcome? How does that play
That's
out?
A really good question, actually. But the great thing about Google is there's a whole host of apps available from Google for your iPhone or your iPad as well. So you've got things like from the Chrome browser through Gmail. And actually, there's even a Google TV remote control available for iPhone as well. So really, the experience can be pretty much the same regardless of which phone you use. A couple of additional things, though, the TVs also support Apple AirPlay, so that's natively built in, and Apple Home, which is great for controlling different smart home devices as well. So, yeah, sharing content and controlling different aspects of the TV is possible using that as well. Now, the TVs also have Chromecast built in. So this is the ability to essentially throw content from your smartphone into your TV, and a lot of the apps on iOS actually support Chromecast. They have that built in to them as well. And if you are signed in with Google on Google Chrome browser, there's a great kind of synchronization between your phone and your tablet. And it's just a really nice feature, which I love myself, is the fact that if you guys gave me a recommendation for a TV show or a movie, I can look that up on Google, add it to my watch list, and then when I go home this evening and sit in front of my TV and go to the library tab on my TV, that recommendation will be sitting there waiting for me, so I don't have to search for it again on my TV. It's really, really simple.
Yeah.
Just finally then, although not related to Apple as such, is just I should mention, we've talked a lot about Google Assistant and even Apple Home just now, but also the TVs do have works with Alexa as well. So if you are in that kind of universe of Alexa or Amazon, you can control your Bravia TV using your Alexa smart speaker as well. So back in the old days, Sony as a company used to be, you know, quite hemmed in and not really open to others, you know, things like memory sticks and all that kind of stuff. But these days, we very much work with a lot of the other big brands out there as well.
Right. So if you're using Netflix or YouTube, whatever, on your Apple iPhone, you're going to be able to log into those services on your Bravia TV.
It will all sync across perfectly, and you can continue watching from the same spot you left off on your smartphone or your tablet.
Right. Let's bring in Rahil. Yep. How does Sony go about including blind and partially sighted people in the development and testing of accessibility features? Have you got any specific feedback that you've received that you're able to share?
Yeah, of course. Our teams worldwide collaborate with advocacy groups who represent blind and partially sighted people. We also carry out expert testing by people who are trained in accessible design, and we also carry out user testing with the RNIB here in the UK, but also with ONSE in Spain. And our colleagues in the US also collaborate with the Braille Institute, amongst others. And when we do undertake user testing, our designers, where possible, will even visit users' homes and experience the TVs or other products that are being used in that real environment. So that way, they can also receive direct feedback from the user, which really helps to fully understand from their perspective the issues that they face on a day-to-day basis. On the product design point of view, how it's influenced, we learn from those different perspectives, such as trying to make accessible settings accessible. There's no point in burying accessibility settings three layers down in the menu, and we're making sure that the screen reader, as Gavin touched on, provides the useful information and a navigational waypoint. So those are the sort of things that we are learning from the user perspectives.
Yeah, and of course, as blind people, we don't want a sighted person to be there to turn it on for us. You know, we want to be able to enable that ourselves.
That's right, yeah.
Robin, in terms of inclusive design at RNIB, what are we doing for companies and with companies like Sony to support them in making their products more accessible?
It's a great question, Dave. I mean, we really have a whole suite of services available, and companies will choose what works for them. But that the entry point to that really starts off with, for example, training for engineers, designers, and developers to make sure that people understand the kind of challenges that people face on a day-to-day basis. But then we also have technical consultancy where we would work with the design team for a specific product to basically work through iterations of the design and ensure that inclusion and accessibility stays on board throughout the design process. And it's important to kind of emphasize that that's not just in relation to consumer electronics. We would do that for websites or apps. We've recently done it for financial payment devices, even for showers, for example, for a well-known shower manufacturer who wanted to make sure that their entire range evolves and develops as a really good example of inclusion. We'd also do user testing, and we have a tried and tested product certification, which essentially allows us to have a really high bar for accessibility and ensure that we can kind of encourage companies to achieve at a high level, essentially best in class accessibility certification. So there's a whole range of services that we provide. And often companies will come to us and say, look, we've got a notion, we've got a vision of how we'd like to make the product more accessible. And we will start from the entry point that works for that company, wherever they're at. Maybe they've designed the product already, they want to do a little bit of retrofitting, or it's a completely clean sheet new product and they want to build something from the ground up. So it's about being flexible, being able to adapt, and being able to work collaboratively with companies to extend that vision. And also to show them that, you know, if you think about it in the right way, creating a more inclusive product actually adds value for everybody. Mm. And it's, you know, it's emphasizing the fact that we're all old people in waiting, right? Some of us are just like at different stages on that journey. And over time, if you look at it statistically, our capabilities visually and auditory, in terms of our auditory capabilities, cognitive capabilities, all of those things will change. And what's a brilliant thing to do is to think about getting a customer on board and saying, as you move through life and as your needs change, you can personalize the product to allow you to have a better experience of it. So that's really what's at the heart of our intervention, and I think, you know, the drive to create a more inclusive world.
Rahil, Robin mentioned challenges. What for you are some of the biggest challenges that you think that Sony faces in making TVs accessible to blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, it's a very good question. TVs, they're part of a very complex ecosystem that includes all aspects, all the way from the camera right up to the display of the TV. And so for content creation, we expect the content to contain audio description and subtitles. The method of delivery, whether that be a traditional aerial up on the roof, a satellite dish, cable, or nowadays increasingly via the internet, these different delivery methods present different user interface challenges. As a TV includes content from multiple sources and viewing from apps such as Netflix, YouTube, or Amazon, these apps also provide their own different user experiences as well. As Gavin touched on earlier, in the UK we also have some catch-up apps deployed by HBBTV technology. So that's another delivery method on top of all the others. So the challenge there is really to ensure that the user can have a consistent experience across this wide variety of content and delivery mechanisms. To address these challenges, our designers are active across standardization, groups where we seek to ensure a seamless, accessible experience by addressing it at a specification level. And that way, it's good for the whole industry, all the users, and not just for Sony.
It's good to hear about standards, but obviously we're all individuals, right? And we all use these devices in slightly different ways, and we've all got strong personal preferences. So I'm interested in customization of accessibility features on Sony TVs, such as, you know, adjusting the speech rate or changing the voice and things like that. How important is personalization in your approach to accessibility?
Gavin, perhaps you want to
I'll take that one. The customization or the personalization is obviously really, really important, as you've just said yourself. And there is a pretty comprehensive range of options, particularly for the talkback or the text-to-speech feature. So basically, it's the same as you're going to get on your phone. So, for example, there's, I think it's 9 different speed options for the voice text reader. And there's options for the voice and the accent as well, which I found really interesting. Actually, I had a listen to a few of those, and I thought they're brilliant. Also, things like text magnification, so you can set that by color. So I think there's 3 options: black and white, white on black, or yellow on black, which I believe is the one that gives the best contrast. That's why they use it in airports, I think. You can adjust how long the text is displayed as well, so that's fully adjustable. There's picture options as well around the, as we mentioned earlier, the color inversion, the grayscale, and there is the high contrast for text as well. And even things like notification timeouts. So quite frequently when a notification pops up, they can disappear quite quickly. So there is an adjustment that you can actually have that to stay on the screen for longer as well. But as I mentioned earlier, my favourite ones that actually I use myself as well is the power on behaviour. So I always know when I turn the TV on, it's going to be on the home screen, and the power on volume adjustment. I absolutely love that feature because I know the sound isn't going to blast everybody in the house when I turn it on. It's great.
I mean, obviously, you've got quite a bit of control of the sort of the Sony interface, you know, your kind of menu and settings and options and TV guide and things like that. You mentioned earlier about some of the challenges with perhaps some of the third-party content providers. Are there any collaborations going on there with streaming services to improve their accessibility?
I think we work very closely, obviously, with Google, and Google themselves work very closely with the app providers as well. So I think a lot of work goes on there about providing the same level of accessibility to everyone. For Sony themselves, I think Raheel probably has more on relationships that we have with manufacturers and suppliers as well.
Can either of you... I've got to ask this because I know listeners will want to know, sort of looking ahead and thinking about what innovations in accessibility users might expect going forward. I'm not asking you to commit to dates or features or anything like that, but, you know, what are some of those kind of upcoming areas of technological development that you think we should be watching in the future?
Yeah, so in terms of innovations in accessibility, voice control is something that we want to continue to expand on in terms of functional control, you know, so more commands, instructions are possible. We've also introduced something recently that provides gesture control capability to our TV. That's using something we called a Bravia Cam or Bravia Camera. And also AI is rapidly expanding and is being used extensively to provide industry-leading picture and sound on our TVs. And we expect AI to further provide support in the areas of TV accessibility in due course as well. But it's not all about new innovation, because sometimes new can actually cause issues. We're seeing more of a shift towards very simple remote controls. They look great, they feel great, but they can be a challenge to providing better accessibility, as sometimes the functions are moved on screen. So we lose the buttons. So what Sony does is we provide both a simple remote and we also provide a standard remote with our TVs. As we are aware that that direct access to functions such as audio description or subtitles or even the number keys, they are actually preferred. So maintaining some of the old can also be a very positive thing. Another aspect we are looking at is adopting something called inclusive design principles. And from fiscal year 2025, those principles will be applied to all our products where we involve persons with disabilities into Sony's design and development processes.
You know, I'm smiling because when you were talking about the remotes, I was remembering my old Trinitron remote from the mid-90s. It was the one where you could sort of take it out of the holder and flip it over, and there was a different set of buttons on the other side. There was like it was like Concord on one side and then just a small number of buttons on the other. Obviously, you know, we love technology. I think all of us around this table, but I think we would all recognise that actually not everybody finds it easy, and sometimes, you know, setting up new equipment or using it efficiently requires specific resources, tutorials, customer support channels. What specifically do you have for blind and partially sighted customers who are trying to get to grips with their new Sony TV?
Okay, so talk back on startup. So this is the very first screen after the TV is powered on from out of the box or after a factory reset. We provide that option, so it's accessible. Our TVs also, once they're set up, they provide on-screen user guides that can be read out via the TV's screen reader. And users can also access the support sections with one key access by pressing the help button on the remote control. We also have an on-screen QR code, so that will allow access to accessible support on the web page. So users who prefer to access via a smartphone, a laptop perhaps, they can use a QR code to access the HTML web pages. If support is required for perhaps setup or configuration, Sony proudly partners with Be My Eyes, so where persons who require support, they're routed to our expert support team via the Be My Eyes app. On our side, our customer support agents have been trained to support people who are blind or partially sighted. And to use this service, users can access that specialist support option at the bottom of the app, and they can select Sony from within there. And Sony's also part of beta testing at the moment with Be My AI. So Be My AI will allow more independence for persons who are blind and partially sighted to get support via AI. But this is still in the pilot phase, and we look forward to it being another route where blind and partially sighted people can get support if required.
How can users provide feedback on accessibility of Sony products, and you know, what mechanisms do you have in place to ensure this feedback, you know, really leads to continuous improvement?
From time to time, the RNIB community may see a request to join user testing or to respond to a survey. We would encourage the community to join such testing, as it provides CE makers such as Sony with very valuable feedback. Only last week we conducted user testing with blind and partially sighted people. But generally, we do engage with persons with various disabilities in the design process. So if anyone would like to get in touch directly, they can contact us. They can contact the Sony European Accessibility Team at apo-eu@sony.com. I'll repeat that, it's apo-eu@sony.com. Or if you prefer to view some of our information about accessibility at Sony, we also have a web page at www.sony.co.uk/sustainability-accessibility. So that's a page that gives some information about our accessibility activities.
Gavin now is going to demonstrate some of the accessibility features of the new Bravia 9. Take it away.
So excellent. The first thing I guess is worth demonstrating is the screen reader. So what I will do is I have the remote control in my hand. I'm just going to hold down the mute button for 3 seconds. And essentially what will happen then is the screen reader will turn on. And then where we are on the TV is the home screen now.
So volume set to 20%.
There we go. And then what we can do is there's a number of different tabs across the top of the screen which we can read as well. So for example, if I go to one step to the left.
Live, button, window home. Press select to activate.
So this is the home screen for your live channels, essentially.
Homes under the hammer, playing from today, 11:15 to 12:15. Button, column 1, in grid BBC 2, 1 row, 8 columns. Press select to activate.
So if I want to then watch this program, I can just hit the enter button and we can watch that. Homes Under the Hammer, one of my favourite TV shows, actually.
Yeah. And you've thought about the verbosity there because obviously from a user perspective, the most important piece of information, i.e. the title of the programme, that's coming first in your announcement as you're navigating the interface.
Yeah, exactly. And with regard to that, that can be adjusted and that can be changed as well to a certain degree. And one of the things that we talked about earlier was the ability to get the accessibility menu
items.
Quite quickly.
Press the select button to activate.
So what I've done there is I've just hit the settings button. We call it the quick settings button, which is it's a little spanner on the top right of the remote control. And this brings us straight into the quick settings, which again, screen reader or talkback will tell us what each of the different tabs are. And one of the prominent ones there is accessibility, and then we can select in there.
Homes Under the Hammer, playing from today, 11:15 to 12:15. Button, column 1, in grid BBC 2, 1 row, 8 columns. Settings, subtitle settings, out of grid BBC 2. Accessibility.
So now we've brought up the accessibility menu. And we can scroll through there and we can actually change some of the settings as well. So the first one is subtitle settings.
Audio settings, broadcast. Press select to activate.
So we can scroll down and that's the next one. And if I just go down, I think we can show you a little bit more about
text,
the talkback functionality
on.
As well.
Press select.
So we can go into talkback.
On. Switch. Talk
so
back.
We have it turned on. It's mentioned that it's a switch as well. And then we can go into the configuration as well.
Talkback settings. Speech volume. Match speech volume. 2 of 10. In list. 10 items.
And then we can go.
3 of 10. Press select to activate. Sound. 4 of 10. Press select to activate. Talkback speech rate. 1 of 3. In list. 3 items. Sound.
So again, we can go through all of those different settings as well.
2 of 3. Press select to activate. Speech volume, match speech, talkback, configuration,
and
accessibility.
And I can exit
talkback,
out of that
on.
By just hitting
press
the reverse button, the return
right.
button.
And when content is playing, you know, if I change channel or something like that, you get the little banner, you know, pops up and tells you what's on now and next. How does that work? Does it mix in with the TV audio? Does the volume duck down? Does it override? How does that work?
I'm not 100% sure, actually. That's okay. A really good question. So what we can do is,
okay.
Is actually find that out by
yep.
Going to the TV part.
Okay.
So if I go back here.
Homes Under the Hammer. Live TV and catch up. how to grid BBC Two.
Let's see who agreed and was the lucky.
Okay, so we can hear the programme.
Yep.
Yep. And then if you went to a different channel. Okay, so we're not getting the screen reader interrupting the program. You're straight into the audio of the program there.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. Should we go back to the?
So if we go.
Home's on BBC Two.
Back to home.
Button.
And then we're back on the main page as well. Additional demonstrations, I guess. It'd probably be nice maybe if we do the Google Assistant.
Yeah, I think so. And also, how do you, as a user, turn audio description on? Because that's something that obviously will be of great interest to our listeners, to make sure that when audio description is available, that they've got that switched on.
So audio description, obviously, is one of the key features that we have built in all our Bravia TVs.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to press the quick settings button.
Accessibility.
So the accessibility item pops up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just select the accessibility icon. So I'm going to press the select button now.
Settings. Subtitle settings. Accessibility.
So we've got a list now. So audio settings broadcast is the second item. I'm going to navigate down to that.
Audio settings broadcast. Press select to activate.
I'm going to press select.
Broadcast settings. Audio type, audio description, normal, 1 of 5, in list, 5 items. Press select to select.
So what it's doing now, it's done a mixture of the TV, the actual content it's showing, because the setting we're going to change now actually will affect the broadcast TV that we're watching. So you can actually hear or see the change as it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So the option I've got is audio description setting. So if I press select.
Selected. Radio button. Normal.
So we've got the list of four items. There's the bullet pointed. The first one is normal, so that's without AD. If I go down a list.
Radio button. Audio description. Provide narration of visual information.
So it gives you a bit of a descriptive what audio description is. So I'm just going to select that. So the audio type is now set to audio description. So now if the content that we are receiving from the antenna, whether that's satellite, cable, or if that contains audio description in the received stream, the TV will now play that out as well.
Okay.
We've also got the mixing level as well, audio description, so that could be adjusted as well, so you can have louder description if you want. Against the actual main audio.
That's useful to know. That's quite unusual, isn't it? You don't often find that.
Yeah, this is something that is part of actually the specification for audio description. It provides that design, so we can implement it, because specifications are very important, because it will tell manufacturers this is how you must look for audio description, and this is how, you know, the options that you can provide to present it.
And then finally then, should we just have a little listen to the Google Assistant?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just going to turn the audio description off on this one. And let me just go to the home. The Google Assistant is really, really useful, actually. And with the Bravia TVs, you're actually able to have the TV turned off, and it will actually turn the TV on for you as well. So you can just come in the room and ask it to turn the TV on. So let me just demonstrate that very, very quickly as well. So TV's off, and all I have to do is say, hey Google, turn the TV on.
All right, turning on the TV.
So that's now the TV turned itself on. So again, I haven't had to look around for the remote control or do any of that. It just very, very simply does it. And you can also have things set up as well, like routines. So for example, if I go, hey Google, good morning.
Good morning. The time is 11:58 a.m. Currently in Weybridge, it's 20 degrees and cloudy. Today, there will be scattered showers with a forecast high of 21 and a low of 18. Here's a joke to start your morning. Prepare to chuckle or groan. Why did the banana go to the doctor? It wasn't peeling very well.
Moving swiftly on, Gavin, just very finally, before I let you go, you mentioned earlier that you had a way of finding the remote with a sound. Are you able to show us that?
Absolutely. Hey, Google, find my remote.
There we are.
That's it.
Good thing comes to those who wait.
Yes, exactly. Fantastic. It does take a minute or two just for it to kick in, but yeah. It's much better than having to scrabble around the back of the sofa or hoping the dog hasn't taken it away somewhere.
Raheel and Gavin from Sony and Robin from RNIB, thank you so much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.